Standing for the reading of the scriptures together. Our text this morning will come from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll read verses 21 through 31. Beginning with verse 21. How the faithful city has become a whore. She who was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your best wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. Therefore, the Lord declares, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will get relief from my enemies and avenge myself on my foes. I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. And I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. And afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city, Zion. Shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness. But rebels and sinners shall be broken together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks that you desired, and you shall blush for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be like an oak whose leaf withers, and like a garden without water. And the strong shall become tender, and his work a spark. And both of them shall burn together, with none to quench them. Now this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, this is a text that shows us the state and the hope of the Lord's church. What was the church called to be? What was she called to do? And was she not called to be that holy city, that faithful city? Now, this is a text that stirs us to consider together the calling of the church, the beauty and the glory of Zion. What had she become? What has she become? And what is her hope? Look at verses 21 through 23. The prophet Isaiah holds nothing back in his use of language. He is very pointed and graphic in his description of what the church had become, how Zion had decayed. Now, what is the language that he uses? Look at verse 21. What image does he use? He uses the image of faithlessness. He uses the image of broken vows. How the faithful city has become a whore, she who was full of justice. She had been his betrothed. She had been his bride. His bride, whom he had seen wallowing in her own filth. In Ezekiel 16, he describes beholding her in filth and in corruption, and he speaks to her, "Live," and he clothes her, and he becomes her kinsman redeemer. He throws his cloak over her. He garnishes her with beauty, with jewels, with glory, with dignity. What had she become? She had become this beautiful bride of the Lord, whom he had betrothed and loved. And look at what he says, verse 21. How the faithful city has become a whore, she who was full of justice. She had been his righteous bride. Not blameless in every way, not sinless in every way. But she had been his. Righteousness lodged in her. And what has she become? She's now become filled with crime and with murderers. He's describing the social situation. He is describing what would be seen on the news in Jerusalem. Your silver has become dross, verse 22. Your best wine mixed with water. Your faithfulness, your dignity, your honor, your beauty, your joy, it has all become diluted. And you take a glass of water. And kids, you ever done this? You ever take a glass of water? And then you take a dropper. And if you were to take some food coloring that you would use around Easter time for coloring eggs, if you were to drop just a little drop of that food coloring in your glass of water, you wouldn't want to drink it, because one little drop colors the whole thing. The prophet Isaiah is saying that your best wine has become colored and tainted. Your joy, your truth, your dignity has been lost. Your princes, it's not just about the church in Jerusalem, it's their civil leaders. Your princes are rebels. Rebels against the rule of law. Rebels against the King of Heaven, rebels against truth, rebels against God's design and pattern. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. They're lovers of bribes. Whatever it takes to gain or to keep power. They love a bribe. They run after gifts. They're not after justice. Despite their rhetoric, they're not after justice. They are oppressors. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. That's what she had become. Loss of glory. How has the fine gold become dim, Jeremiah would say. So what is her hope? If that's what she's become, what is her hope? You look at verses 24 through 27. Her hope is in the word of a sovereign who intervenes in history. Her hope is in the hand of a God who does not simply allow his people to decline and to decay. Their hope is that they have a husband who will reclaim his bride, and Zion will once again be the beautiful bride of Christ. She will once again be the redeemed, faithful, holy city. Their hope, look at verses 24 through 27. Their hope is in the declaration of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord declares. And he's a sovereign Lord. He's the Lord of battles. He's the God of armies. He's the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, the one who speaks and it is done, the one who extends his hand into space and time, the one who sovereignly intervenes, the one who is Lord of history, the one who can reverse courses, the one who can remove unjust judges and overturn unjust laws. He's the one who is sovereign. I will get relief from my enemies, verse 24. Verse 25, I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. I will restore, verse 26, your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. What do you see here in verses 24 through 27? Afterward, you'll be called the city of righteousness after his restoration, after his purifying hand has worked. What do you see here? You see verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness. What is the hope of the church? For Israel in the 8th century and for us in the 21st. What is the hope of the church? Is it not the hand and the word of Christ? Is it not the hand of a purifier, a redeemer, a Lord of hosts, a mighty one of Jacob? What is the hope of the church? Is it not the word and the hand? When we long, when we seek him for revival, do we not long? Do we not direct our gaze to the hand? Do we not look to the hand that is mercy, that is love, that is goodness? Look to Christ. You look to Christ to redeem and to revive his church, that the Lord of the covenant would seal, that he would renew, that he would revive. Hope in the hand of the Redeemer. Y'all, church, look to him. You look to Christ. Hope in the hand of the Redeemer. Look to him. Hope in him. Trust in him. His, verse 25, is the hand of a purifier. That's who he is. Who is Christ? Who is the Lord of hosts? Who is the Holy One of Israel? He is a purifier. Look to the hand of the purifier. I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. Now, what must be extracted? Something has to be removed. The poison must be extracted from the blood of his church. What must be taken away? Is it not the faithlessness, the broken vows, the loss of dignity, the corruption, the filth, the taint? Remember his call. Remember his invitation. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, yet they shall be as wool. Remember his promise. Remember his call. And how will he extract? How will he restore the silver? How will he purify the wine? What does Christ do? Does he not send his Spirit? Is it not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit whom Isaiah would prophesy and declare? Is it not the Spirit who had come poured out upon the dry ground? Isaiah would speak of the Spirit coming, being poured out upon your offspring, Isaiah 44, that His Spirit would come as waters upon the dry ground. Is that not precisely what the Spirit does, what the Spirit of Jesus does to His church? When we look to Christ revived, do we not plead with Him, "Oh, would you extend your purifying hand, send forth your Spirit"? His Spirit, that's what He does. He brings death and He brings life to the soul. He brings death to the faithlessness. He brings death to the corruption, death to the stain of sin. And then He brings life, life from the dead. That's what Christ does in the gospel. That's what the Christ of Isaiah would proclaim and accomplish, life from the dead. You look to the hand, look to the hand of the purifier. And know that He would give this vision. This vision of smelting away the dross as with lye, removing the alloy. Hope in the hand of a purifier. Hope in the hand of a restorer. Now look at verse 26. "And I will restore." What will He restore? You look at verse 26, "I will restore your judges as at the first." As at the first, when I appointed David to sit upon the throne. As at the first, when I sealed my covenant with David, that he would never lack a man to sit upon the throne. As at the first, when I appointed David to be a picture of the greater David, the greater Christ, the greater anointed, "I will restore." What is He doing here? He's injecting hope into the soul of Israel, saying, "I will be the hand of a restorer." Y'all, when we look at the state of the church and you pray, you plead, you long, and you ache for Him to revive her, do you not look to this hand who is able to restore? "I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning." And what will be the result? What does the gospel bring about? What does He restore? Y'all, does He not restore your name? Your name that has been tarnished. Your name that has been dishonored. What does He restore to His church? Look at verse 26. "Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." You look to the hand of a purifier, the hand of a restorer. He is in the business of restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. He is a restorer, and He will restore according to His word of promise. He restores according to the covenant. Y'all, place your trust, you place your hope in the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Not one of His promises, not a one of His words shall fall dead to the ground. Every single one shall be fulfilled. Every word and promise shall be executed and fulfilled. "I will restore." And what is the result? You shall be called. You will have a new name. And what is that new name? What name are you given, Christian? Brother, sister, what are you now called? Regardless of your past, regardless of the filth, the stain, the loss of dignity, the faithlessness, the breaking of vows, what are you called? What is your identity? What is your name? Have you forgotten your name? Has it been crusted over with years of forsaking and wandering? Remember who you are. What is your name? Are you not the city of righteousness, clothed with the righteousness of Christ? Are you not the faithful city? Have you forgotten? Anchored in the faithfulness of Christ, in the faithfulness of the covenant-keeping God, look to His hand. Look to His hand, His loving, merciful, gracious hand that purifies and restores. Third, you look to the hand of the Redeemer. Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness. Are you and I not purchased by the precious blood of Christ? Are you and I not redeemed? Redeemed not by what our hands have done, but redeemed by the blood alone of the Lamb of God? Are you not redeemed? Has He not been just? Has He not poured out His justice and His wrath upon His only begotten Son? Is that not how you've had your name restored to you? That the name of Christ, the name of the Son of God, was trampled upon and dishonored so that you could be honored and renamed the holy city, the faithful city, the city of righteousness? Look to the hand of the Redeemer. It's a strong hand, one that is capable. But He's also the hand of a judge. Verses 28 through 31. Rebels and sinners shall be broken together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. There is not a blanket, one-size-fits-all pardon. He makes you willing to repent. He gives you this longing. He gives you this desire, this draw, this magnetic draw to His Son. And then you are restored. You are redeemed. And as a result of that restoring, you're called the holy city. But notice what He says about those who forsake the Lord. Those who go after other gods, other religions. The oaks and the gardens and the leaves of verses 29 and 30, He's describing the gods of the nations, the nature religions of the surrounding peoples, that they would make a religion out of the trees, the oaks, and the gardens. Rather than seeing the oaks and the gardens as signs pointing to the Creator, they would see the oaks and the gardens as religious entities in themselves. And according to Isaiah, all roads do not lead to the same God. All religions are not equal in the eyes of the Lord. And so what does He say? You shall be like an oak whose leaf withers, and like a garden without water. Y'all, the gods of the nations will promise you much. They will sell you a bill of goods. promising a whole host of riches and honors. Isaiah will go on to say, and he will question, he will say, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Here, he's saying, "Why do you go after an oak whose leaf only withers? Why are you fixated upon a garden that is without water? Look to the hand of the Redeemer. Look to the hand of the Purifier, the Restorer, and trust His promise. His promises are not a bill of goods. His promises are not empty. His are not vain. When He says in verses 19 and 20, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You hear the word of the gospel and you yield to His promise. There is good that is promised to you. There are blessings that are held out to you. Blessings that cannot be revoked. Blessings that are not merely words in a commercial or on a page. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You hear His voice, you yield to His promise, and it will go well with you, He says. But if you refuse and rebel, verse 20, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Look to the hand of Christ. Look to Him, trusting that it will go well with you. Trust that as you cling to the hand of Christ, He will give you to eat the good of the land. And He will make you to be as that tree planted by the waters that spreads forth its roots down by the river. Your leaf shall not wither. You look to Christ. You look to Him. He is the Purifier. He is the Restorer. He is the Redeemer. And you are Zion. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, as the sons and daughters of Zion, we bow before Your gracious hand. O Lord, Yours is a full hand. One that does not hold back. You open Your hand and You satisfy the needs and desires of every living thing. And so, Lord, we take Your hand in ours, trusting that You, our best, our heavenly friend, through thorny ways, will lead us to that joyful end. In Jesus' name, amen.